Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is John Bradford from Wilderness Outreach. Welcome again, John.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here again, Father.
We're continuing our conversation on masculine spirituality. Kind of the first bit of that is on faith and reason. We started that in our last segment, and we're going to continue in that today. But let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for the gift of truth. May we grow closer to you by the use both of faith and of reason. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So, John, as we kind of ended in our last segment, we were on this conversation about faith and reason, and one of the guys, he's actually a priest that you mentioned, is Father Stanley Yockey. And kind of his insights onto this question of faith and reason.
Yeah, and the way I see it, and at least read it, and I've read about him and then read a couple of his books and a few of his articles, is that Father Yockey's life work as a PhD theologian and PhD in physics was to show how the Judeo-Christian culture, and especially the Christian culture as it had developed into the Middle Ages, created the optimum environment that the scientific method could spring out of. And it's like, yeah, that, so actually it's the Catholic Church, it's our faith that gives the underpinnings to the scientific method. So again, this is that tie-in between faith and reason. You know, some of the in fact, he called the Christian culture of that time and even now as the womb of science. And he compares that to some of the ancient cultures. If we think of ancient China, Babylonia, Egyptian, even ancient Hindu, they were advanced beyond where the Christian culture was technically, but they failed for some reason. They didn't develop further. Why not, right? So that's what Father Yockey really studied, and he came to see how this belief, for instance, when we talked the last time about Irenaeus's point of view and Origen and these different fathers of the church, how they were basically saying, look, if you study nature, you'll see God in it, right? Mm-hmm. That basic idea is so true, you know?
What it reminds me of, you know, do you remember the Regensburg address that Pope Benedict gave, which he got into a lot of trouble over? But at the heart of that is, he says, he kind of makes a mm-hmm. similar point. Mm-hmm. And that is because we, Christianity has a unique worldview from, say, Hinduism or the Chinese culture or even Islam, mm-hmm. Even Islam, even though Islam kind of comes from an Abrahamic faith, because we have what Benedict talks about, a logos worldview, meaning that first of all, the world is created, and it's created with meaning. So you know, God is rational, and God has, you know, in a sense, in the Son, in the Word, has made everything through it. So there is a reasonableness, a rationalness, mm-hmm. you might even say kind of a pattern mm-hmm. To creation. And then this is even more so reinforced by the incarnation, mm-hmm. that God takes on mm-hmm. the things of the world. And the reason why some of these other cultures, you know, science would not have developed, and really great technology and economic development mm-hmm. did not really start there, was because of specifically the Christian worldview, is that there we see a meaning and a value to creation, but then also a sense that creation has been made for us mm-hmm. To use and to know.
Yes, right. And I think that to know, that God has availed himself for us to know him. Mm-hmm. That is so wonderful, right? And he's availed it not only spiritually and through Scripture, but also through, once the sciences and nature. You know, some of those things that, and you, if you listen to Catholic Answers and a number of different these programs, they'll talk about, well, what's some of these intersections between faith and reason? Well, how about the Big Bang? Right. So it's like, I always like to put this picture up of Albert Einstein, right? I have this picture of Albert Einstein, and standing beside Albert Einstein is this man in a you know, the clerics of a priest.
Uh-huh.
And I always say to the people, okay, who are in these seminars, okay, who's the guy in the picture? And everybody raises their hand, Einstein. I said, no, the other guy, right? Well, that's Father George Lemaître, or Monsignor George Lemaître, who basically studied Einstein's theory of relativity and said, guess what? There's a beginning of time. So all of a sudden, and Einstein didn't believe it. Well, that was really a big deal. There's a beginning of time, meaning there's a creation event. And there's only one system of thought and belief in the history of the world that embraces that idea, and it's Judeo-Christianity. There's a beginning of time, but also there's an end of time, right? Well, along with that, then there's this idea that God created a universe that is filled with meaning and hierarchy, right? And at the and so if we look at, for instance, Genesis 1, what's the top of the hierarchy? It's that male and female that God created, you know, who images God, which is such a great thing. So in scripturally, it says, okay, God created male and female, and then he scripturally, he shows that they are the image of God through the scriptures.
And, you know, for our listeners, that's really where the door is beginning. People may have been asking that have been listening to us the last couple days, what the heck does faith and reason have to do with masculine spirituality? And now, as if the question of faith and reason only applies to men or something like that,
right,
which is not the point, of course.
Yeah.
But that, you know, as you're saying, is the idea that it then leads to us understanding the complementarity between male and female. And, you know, one of the points that you make is really rooted in science, similar to the Big Bang Theory, that kind of points to the reasonableness of faith.
Right.
Science helps us to see the reasonableness of our belief, is the idea of a genetic Adam and Eve.
Yes, isn't that amazing? So, I mean, it's one of those things that drives secular atheistic scientists nuts. So basically, if there is genetically been shown now that there's one woman and there's one man who basically are the mother and father of every human being on the face of the earth. It's pretty much accepted now that you can trace these lineages back in time genetically and find, no, there's one woman that every woman every man and woman on the face of the earth have this connection, and then there's a man at the same time. And there's some deeper questions about that, but they're called genetic Adam and Eve, right? So it's a pretty stunning finding, I would say.
And, you know, the father of genetics, of the study of genetics, is a priest.
Right, right. You know? Is that Mendel?
Gregor Mendel, yeah.
That's right.
So, I think, obviously then we see the reasonableness of the faith with that. The other kind of theme of science, too, is telos. The things of this world are created and developed with an end in mind.
Right, right. And that telos, and this is getting closer to that idea of male and female, is that we're created differently. And so, for instance, there's a genetic scientist that would say that there's a 2% difference genetically between male and female human beings. And that's a big deal, right? And so in other words, the male body, and this gets back to why do we have a theology of the body? Because there's a telos, there's a difference between the male body and the female body, starting on the genetic level from the time of conception on, there's this physical difference that is a reflection of deep spiritual truths of God's creation, right, in male and female. So the question kind of becomes then, you know, how does Scripture show the difference of that, right? Well, if you go past Genesis 1, where male and female he created, there's a different story in Genesis 2 about the God creating male, the male, up out of the dirt, right? And then later, he creates the woman from the rib, the finer stuff, right? So if we look at that, how does that, you know, how do we look at that in terms of scripture and science? And is there a combination there? And then if we look at this difference in the male and female telos, how does science show us these differences? And how do we have these then complementarity between scripture and science showing this difference between male and female, basically yielding a masculine spirituality and a feminine genius?
And, you know, in our future conversations, we're going to kind of tackle some of these themes. So a little bit more about what science says about the difference between male and female. And then also what scripture says about the difference between male and female. You know, sometimes we say complementarity, because I think when a lot of secular people maybe hear difference, they think inequality. Mm-hmm. But the church often uses this word complementarity to point to the, you know, they're not just separate beings, but they're beings made and created in such a way to complete each other.
Yeah, but they're not mirror images of one another either. And so there's another term that cardinal whose last name was Scola maybe. He talked about this concept of asymmetrical reciprocity.
Mm-hmm.
Similar but different, and so that where the similarities fit together makes us human together, but the differences then make us complementary in a way that where certain of us have strengths, the other ones have different strengths, so we help each other, so we help guide each other.
And you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been John Bradford. Until next time, peace and all good.